It's Bikescape, July 10th,
2009. Riding my bicycle, riding my bicycle, riding my bicycle, riding my bicycle, so smooth. When I was 9 years old, I had my bicycle. Now that I'm 31, I think it's just as fun. So fun! Before I got my guitar, before I had my first car, I had my training wheels, bicycle made of steel.
Hello, welcome to another Bikescape. Well, it's been an interesting month here in San Francisco. We had a historic meeting of the Municipal Transportation Agency, the MTA. They're the people that run the buses. They're the people that paint the lines on the streets and design the streets and engineer everything. Well, after almost 3 years of an injunction that's prohibited us from even putting up a bike rack in the city, let alone any new bike facilities of any kind, we finally have gotten our bike plan through the environmental impact report that was mandated by the injunction, by the lawsuit that was brought on the city by some nuthead. And we had this marathon meeting where over 200 people showed up to testify in favor of bike lanes, and only about 10 or so were against it. So 45 new bike lanes, all in one fell swoop for the city. It's going to double the number of bike lanes that we have, and should make it so that even the average person who's not a rebellious daredevil will feel comfortable on the streets. Your grandma, for instance, will be able to ride her bike to the store. So it's a great step, and everybody's really happy. I unfortunately didn't make it to the meeting. I had what's known as an unassisted takedown out on Bosworth Street, and broke a collarbone in a couple of places and had to get surgery. And let's not talk about it too much. It wasn't anybody's fault except for my own, and hit a pothole and went down. But my friends Mike and Nancy were there, and they came by to make me dinner one night. And it was very nice that they came over. They brought food on a Friday night, and we all sat around and ate and talked about the meeting. And I got them to agree to record some of their impressions as we talked about the meeting. It was a very informal discussion. And we discussed just how much bike culture in San Francisco has matured since when we started activism, 10, 15 years ago. It was at one time, critical mass was the only game in town. And now, it's all walks of life are riding bikes now, and they're all clamoring for new bike facilities, and they want to get their kids to school, and they want to go shopping, and they want to just go through life. And everybody wants a more livable city. So we'll see where it takes us over the next few years. But in the meantime, let's just go back and check out how this meeting went. If you're from San Francisco, you've already read everything in Streets Blog and everywhere else in the newspapers. But if you're from out of town, this will be news to you. And if you are from San Francisco, maybe it's time to just think about it, how far we've come in the last few years. So with that, let's go to the conversation with Mike Smith, Nancy Botkin, and my partner, Karen Franklin. We're here talking to Nancy Botkin, Karen Franklin, and Mike Smith.
Hello.
Hi.
What was it like when you got there?
Oh, my God.
Just describe the scene at City Hall.
Okay. I thought I got there right at 8. Maybe it was 8:05. They told us to get there at 8. The doors would open at 8:30. The hearings at 9 were first on the agenda. When I get there, there are already 3 lines on the plaza outside of City Hall. There's a line of people for bike parking, not long. Plenty of bikes already parked before, and like I said, I got there, I thought, pretty much on time. There's a line of people to sign in.
On the street, they had like a tent set up.
Yeah, and then what was the other line I had to stand? There was a third line that we stood in.
Oh, well,
line.
They had, if you had,
these were all SFBC, Bicycle Coalition.
The Bicycle Coalition, so
if you
first
hadn't spoken
parked
before,
your bike. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you had a line to fill out in your speaker card.
Yeah, so you,
so there were three...
Which had, like, 50 people on it.
And then when you got up to the sign, you filled out your speaker card, then they said, oh, and if you would like any help with your statement, your comments, these people over here are available to help you.
Like David Gardner was...
They had all the facts and figures if you wanted to say, like, how many people were writing
just bicycles. Coach you on if you were uncomfortable speaking for the first time in front of the, you know...
Or you didn't know what to say, or how to orient what you wanted to say.
So there's one other thing that was really, really impressive, and that is that the department heads of the city spoke, and they said so many good things. And
the heads of the departments.
Yeah, so there was the head of the Department
Please
of Environment.
Please state your name.
Sure, my name is Jared Blumenfeld. I'm director of the Department of Environment and interim director of the Recreation and Parks Department. I want to start with a quote from H.G. Wells, which says, "Every time I see an adult on a bicycle, I no longer despair for the future of the human race." Bicycles were invented 150 years ago. We spend a lot of time collaboratively looking at hydrogen fuel cell vehicles, electric vehicles. Bicycles still remain today the most efficient vehicle that exists on the planet. To me, this is also a prompting at something the city needs to do, which is to weigh in at the state level and look at really the future of the California Environmental Quality Act. Something is very wrong with the act if we're spending 3 years in a huge amount of money to push something that clearly has a huge environmental benefit, as you have proved and your staff have proved today. So I think there is a broad planning issue that we need to discuss, but really I'm here today to congratulate you on getting this far and on hopefully approving the measures here today before you. You know, as many of people in the community know, it takes a long time to get one project planned. Today you have 46 before you. This is momentous. In the United States Congress, the bill before the House of Congress on a cap and trade bill, the Waxman-Markey bill, is being heard today and hopefully will be approved. So if you think about what's actually at stake, which is the planet, and what people are doing around the world is looking to San Francisco when it comes to the issue of recycling, when it comes to the issue of green building, they're looking to San Francisco. But actually, 50% of all San Francisco's emissions when it comes to greenhouse gases emanate from vehicles. Most of those vehicle trips are people going to school to bring their kids, they're going to get some milk from the grocery store. They're not large commute trips. Most of the trips are very small trips around the city. Most of those trips can be done easily through public transportation, walking and bicycling. Easily. I bike around the city. I bike every single day. I bike to all 242 of our parks with the public, and it's a joy to bike around San Francisco. We have a great bicycling city, and the measures before you today will allow us to do it more safely. In London, what they discovered is that as the number of bicyclists doubled, the number of bike-related accidents halved. So the number of bicyclists doubled in the five-year period of congestion pricing, and the number of accidents halved. And the reason for that is drivers of automobiles became more used to bicycles, and the traffic calming effect of having bicycles share the road with cars reduced the speed of those vehicles driving down the street. So really, safety is something that I know I hear from most of the people that phone our office. That's the biggest issue people have. More people on the streets using safer and hopefully dedicated bike lanes really will make a huge difference to the city and to our greenhouse gas reduction goals. So there's so many benefits to this. I'm going to talk to two more. Biking every day to work adds over 2 years to your life expectancy and, according to scientists, actually makes you happier. According to recent studies, bicyclists are 50% less likely to experience depression. And surprisingly, car occupants are exposed to 2 to 3 times more air pollutant than cyclists. You'd think the bicyclists are out on the street, they're going to get more pollution, but in fact, being in the car, you get more pollution into your lungs. And there's also a clear connection between the nation's health and bicycle use. The World Watch Institute found that in the United States, where only 1% of urban travel is by bicycle, 36% of adults are considered obese. In the Netherlands, where 28% of urban travel is via bicycle, only 10% of their population is obese. So from climate change to human health to big issues of obesity, bicycling is one important answer, one important part of the solution. So I'd encourage you to pass the measures here today.
And then, like, Mitch Katz came late, and of course they let him.
He's the it's Mitch Katz. He's the head of the Department of Health.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. I'm Dr. Mitch Katz. I've been the health director in San Francisco for the past 12 years, during which we've seen exponential growth in the number of cases of type 2 diabetes, in hypertension, in obesity. And so much of that is because our environments have changed. 20 years ago, people could get exercise just through the practice of living because everything was not done by a motor. People, you know, would walk places. People would take bicycles. People would take public transportation. Now you don't even have to get up to change the channel on your television set. And all of this has caused tremendous growth in weight, in high blood sugar, and we need as a city to take strong action. And part of that strong action is finding ways to help people be active in daily life. Everybody would like to be able to go to an exercise class or to the gym, but the realities of most people's lives is that we're busy working, we're busy taking care of our children, we're busy getting our household jobs done. We don't have time necessarily to go spend 45 minutes in a gym. Many low-income people don't have the money to spend that. Enabling people to get from one place to another through their bicycle is a great way of enabling those people who are able to get exercise in that way. Other people will find other ways of doing exercise, but we need as a city to find every opportunity to get people to be more active. Having a city bicycle path throughout our city so people can go from one place to another really helps that. Thank you so much for letting me speak to you.
All right, thank you, Doctor.
And then the Department of, not Disability, what are they called?
Mayor's Office of Disability.
Susan Misner, Director of the Mayor's Office on Disability. I'm wanting to focus my comments today on the perception that there is a conflict between the biking community and the disability community. I think, as Commissioner Oka could tell you, that there's nothing further from the truth. There is a great deal of confidence that the Mayor's Office on Disability has in the design of these bike lanes to ensure that the pedestrian access for people with disabilities is secure and insured in the future. But also, I want to speak to how much broader the disability community is than we often think. The disability community is not people only with mobility disabilities or visual disabilities. We include people who have chronic illnesses, lung, heart problems, immune disorders, diabetes, and there is huge benefits to people to have a option of the gentle exercise that biking can provide, especially on short trips around the city. As Jared pointed out, people with psychiatric disabilities almost uniformly benefit from the opportunity to have that exercise as well. And third, for those who can't bike in the disability community, having a usable, dedicated network of bike lanes that gets people off of the buses, out of their cars, and into the streets will not only have the environmental benefits that have been pointed out, but will also free up the seats on public transportation that people with disabilities are so in need of, and pressure on parking spaces. So I will just say that we are really pleased, the Mayor's Office on Disability is very pleased to see that we've gotten to this point. We congratulate the Commission, the MTA, the Bike Coalition on all of the hard work that it's taken to get here. And I'd say that I also look forward to the point in which we have a network of dedicated bike lanes that are separate from traffic that make people with disabilities and parents with children feel truly secure in biking around the city. Thank you.
Well, how were the comments? What kind of quality were the comments?
I mean, there were 3 hours of comments going on.
So Adrian was, she sort of started it off. And she was amazing. She just, like 90 miles an hour. She was like, you know, I am the CEO of like 512 Coot Street.
My name is Adrian Johnson, and I am the president and CEO of the Chan family of 412 Monterey Boulevard. Mm. This is my daughter, Una. This is my son, Declan. Mm. We are San Francisco natives. We live in the Sunnyside neighborhood, and we are committed to not driving a car in San Francisco. We are one of many families in Sunnyside and in San Francisco whose children commute by bike daily. These children commute on substandard streets that do not meet their or anyone's needs. They experience daily the risk of being doored, hooked, or run off the road, especially in the area of San Francisco between Glen Park and Ocean Beach. Streets that they travel daily, Bosworth, Monterey, San Jose, Alamany, Phelan, Holloway, Sagaway, and beyond, have no bicycle infrastructure and put these children at risk daily of tangling with vehicles every time they ride. This plan is not about parking spaces. It's not about traffic reduction. It is not about global warming. It is about creating safe passage throughout San Francisco for all those who ride, especially these children, the children in this room, the children in the city, my children. We urge you to approve all of the San Francisco Bike Plan, all of the San Francisco Bike Projects. Keep these children safe and allow them to grow up in a city where bicycling is part of their lives. Thank you.
What other kind of people did you see? You saw parents?
Well, I saw a lot of people I didn't know, which was great. It was not the usual people.
I'm the president of Clear Channel Radio at 340 Townsend, and I would like
to work in a financial district for a brokerage company as a software developer.
My name is David Giesen. I'm a resident of Bernal Heights and a school teacher.
What was it like in the old days? Do you remember going, like when Valencia Street happened? Remember we did the same kind of mobilization as, I mean.
I was not, the people think that I was there at Valencia Street. Mm-hmm. I was not there.
I remember it. And
you
we got
remember,
maybe about 80 people to show up and we thought we were really great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're not organized. We just, you know, we just like hit the email list really hard and got as many people to show up. But mm-hmm. it was mainly, I guess it was us again, but we were like in our 30s or 20s or younger, and it was all the same people you saw at Critical Mass.
Right.
And it was a different crowd. Do you think the crowd has changed?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've gotten older, so more bigger. Mature, and more. They have such a huge pool of people to select from now out of 10,000 people. There's other successful people making their stamp on the city, but we're not connected. You and I personally are not connected to, but the Bike Coalition has hooked into. Like the Clear Channel guy, mm-hmm. like the Design We Reach guy. And it was so wonderful. They're on our side.
Yeah, well, I guess it happened.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing, right? Maybe the golden age of bicycling as a rebel activity is over, but now it's...
Well, that was
a whole...
Thank you. I'm Don Willenberg. I live on Hyde Street. Like the weather, I'm in my low to mid-50s. I'm a parent. I'm an attorney for a large downtown law firm. My specialty is civil appeals, and I'm appealing to you to approve every one of these projects. I walk to work, but I bike almost everywhere else. I bike to the grocery store at Rainbow and Trader Joe's, to shopping in Glen Park or out in the avenues, to McLaren or Golden Gate Park, and to that wonderful biking and commercial strip that Valencia Street has become. I would note that with one overly litigious exception, even those who spoke in opposition today support the idea of bike lanes and improving bike access. If you make bicycling safer, more people will bicycle. If more people bicycle, they're more likely to stop somewhere along the way. Streets with cars moving as fast as they can is no way to build communities. It's no way to build local jobs. More bikes equals safer streets and healthier citizens. More bikes equals more affordable transportation, less pollution, less cause for foreign wars. No one goes shopping on the freeway. No one goes to restaurants on the freeway. There are thousands of miles of streets in the city, and we're asking for projects on a tiny percentage of those miles, on a tiny percentage of those streets, not to exclude cars, but to make the streets safer for those who bike, those who walk, those who use walkers, those who push baby carriages, and yes, even for the people who are still in their cars.
The opposition was, we're not against the bike lanes, but we don't like what you did.
Bike lanes are a good idea.
We don't want bicycle lanes,
the way the SFMTA staff is going about it is where our problem lies. As Ms. Liddell just said, we really just want the Valencia Street plan. The Valencia Street plan was the most successful plan of implementing four lanes or changing four lanes into three lanes with bicycle lanes. And that requires a center utility lane. And also we would like meter turn signals at critical locations such as Harrison and Folsom, which allow Baybridge traffic to clear out of our neighborhood. So why doesn't the SFMTA staff agree with us? Well, they actually do agree that our proposal is better if it would fit in their view. And the reason why they have this view is because their current design guidelines, which are based on ideals that don't exist currently in SoMa, such as 7-foot parking when we only have 6.5, I went and measured it myself the other day, these kind of ideals push their guide beyond what Second Street has, which is 52.5 feet. But those guides shouldn't dictate what happens on Second Street. Policy should dictate that.
They have a full like multimedia presentation. And they put up their chart with like, okay, here's the parking, here's the bike lane, here's the travel lane, and they got their arrows, they got all their drawings.
That's good.
And David Baker turns to me and goes, this is the kind of opposition I like.
Yeah, because they're all like, we want bike lanes, you know. Like,
this is our opposition. And you know, that was smarter than they
So they have to come up with a solution. They can't just try to kill it.
You know? Memories. Was Rob Anderson there?
No, but his lawyer woman was.
Oh, really?
Was he like? Do tell.
Oh, she was amazing.
Have you ever seen her?
She looks scary.
Well, she was a lot older than I expected, but also she was like a caricature. She was like somebody you'd see in a movie who plays the role of the villain. And it was weird. Well, like, I expected her to be that way, but no, but so I might have been a little biased, but she was like, you should stop this hearing right now because we're appealing it.
So board members, I'm Mary Miles. Representing Coalition for Adequate Review, the party to the lawsuit that obtained the injunction that you are now operating under. Let me remind you that the injunction and the peremptory writ of mandate are still in effect, which prohibits you from taking the proposed actions today. We will seek a TRO if you take that action, and we strongly advise you today to continue this action for that reason alone. You do need to stay your actions today. I strongly advise that you just table them now instead of wasting everybody's time, because you do need to stop this hearing immediately. I'm surprised that you would even consider these actions under the constraints of the injunction. And
So the head of the board, he was really smart. He just said, you know, I'd like to ask the city attorney. No, he just said, I'd like to ask the city attorney. Is this an issue or whatever? And the city attorney said, no.
Ms. Friedlander, we have been spoken to by the attorney that we should immediately close the meeting and go home. May I have a response from you at this time?
Mr. Chairman, Directors, Julia Friedlander from the City Attorney's Office. I have received and reviewed Ms. Miles' notice to you. We do not believe that either the injunction nor her notice that she intends to appeal the Planning Commission's actions of last night interfere with your ability to move forward with this item. If a valid appeal is filed, the department may be stayed in implementing the decisions that you may make today to approve these items, but there is nothing currently that prevents you from moving forward. We will certainly advise you if we are informed that a valid appeal has been filed and that anything would interfere with your ability to take action today.
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded to approve 12 as amended. Call the roll.
Director Beach.
Aye.
Beach, aye. Director Black.
Aye.
Black, aye. Director Lee.
Aye.
Lee, aye. Director Oka.
Aye.
Oka, aye. Vice Chairman McCray.
Aye.
McCray, aye. That's 5 votes in the affirmative.
Thank you very much, everyone. We appreciate your time.
And so ends a historic session of the MTA in San Francisco as the bike plan is adopted. 42 of the projects of the 56, and there's more to come. But that's the most projects that have ever been approved in one single day by a long shot. We'll say goodbye and thank you very much to Mike, Nancy, and Karen. At this point, we got kind of distracted by the good beer and good food and good friends. And things kind of disintegrated at that point. But I would like to quickly go to the mayor's remarks out on the steps of City Hall later on that day in a press conference. Mayor Newsom.
Thank you very much for coming out. Well, as any young Jesuit-trained boy will say, God's delays are not God's denials. We are finally now very close to the end of this laborious and long process, one that began in November of 2006 with what I would term a specious injunction that was advanced here that may not have been specious in terms of the legal question that was raised, but by the author of that question, one that unnecessarily, from my perspective, delayed the inevitable, and that was an advancement and enhancement of our bicycle network here in San Francisco. As you know, this is not over. We still anticipate a possible appeal of the environmental work that was approved yesterday by planning. We expect that there'll still be issues that will delay this injunction from ultimately being removed that will take us through probably most of the summer, but that by sometime in August, end of August, maybe worst case, beginning of September, we will hit the ground literally sprinting, not even running, as it relates to enhancing and advancing some of the collective wisdom that is gathered in front of me, behind you, and all around us here. As Carter said, some 34 miles of new bike lanes will be enhanced. Most of that work will be done in just the next few years. A lot of it will be done just weeks after the injunction is lifted. Just to put it in perspective, what does 34 miles mean? Well, if you add it to the 45 miles that exist today, it's about a 76% increase in the total number of bike lanes or miles of bike lanes in our city. We're going to be substantially improving the number of what we call sharrows, and this is the San Francisco first. As many of you know, those are the arrows as part of the bike lanes that are shared, part of our nomenclature that the state adopted, Leah, what, in 2005, I guess, formally. We'll be substantially increasing the number of sharrows in our city. Again, many, many, many miles of new sharrows will be put in. Bike racks, we couldn't even put in one bike rack in the last few years, which is unbelievable. A city could not even add one simple bike rack. We've got 750 that have been requested. Not all 750 are necessarily ready to go, but we will add to the 1,550 bike racks that we have, and we'll see a substantial number that will also be added to the streets in, again, a very short order. 45 of the 60 identified projects now have been formally approved by the MTA. That was done this morning, and I want to thank the MTA board, thank their leadership and their example. Well done. We were hoping it was 46, but that's a whole nother discussion. But 45 were finally approved. It's a far cry from the old days where I was a supervisor and we had to go one by one back to the board and we'd get into this give and take of controversy. I remember the last one up there on Polk Street many, many years ago. And I remember, Leah, you proved me wrong. I was concerned about it, that first vote, and then we came back for the permanent, and I said, you were right, I was wrong, it's worked. And since then, I've been not just a convert, but an advocate for dramatically expanding that network throughout the city. But that's it. The board, we love the board, I know, but the board doesn't necessarily need to do anything now as it relates to those enhancements, since most of that now has been done in one fell swoop by the MTA. And that will inure to all of our benefits as we'll be able to move forward with the plan in a much more aggressive manner. Final couple points. We are also going to be substantially adding a safety component to our effort. And that includes some enforcement, which we collectively recognize needs to be done. We need to be responsible, and we need to keep people safe. And we need to look at our streets in a shared manner. This is not, I hope, framed as cars and parking versus bicycles. To me, that was yesterday's debate. today and tomorrow's debate is the debate we're having around our streets or pavement to parks program, our Sunday streets closures. It's part of a new narrative of collaboration and partnership with business community, with civic leaders, with the people here at City Hall. So I say all that because I think it's the notion of the genius of and versus the tyranny of or, that you have cars or bikes. You can have cars and bikes. You can have parking and you can have customers. You can have no parking and you can have customers. You can ultimately do many of these things at the same time, democratize our streets, start converting more pedestrian enhancements as well as bicycle enhancements, and start looking differently at our city in terms of what a city can be. And that's the spirit of our times and spirit that brings me here today. Final word. We have a very aggressive local global climate action plan, as you know, to roll back our greenhouse gas emissions 20% below 1990 levels by 2012. We've already accomplished a remarkable feat, and that was last year when we unveiled that we're already roughly 6% below 1990 levels. We did that by 2008, again, last year. That's a remarkable achievement for a city. Now, in order to get to that next level, you know, we've been aggressive on our solar. We've been aggressive on green buildings. We've been trying to do this ubiquitous infrastructure for electric vehicles. You see some demonstrations behind us. But this bike plan is a big part of that. It's not just composting and recycling. A bike plan is a big part of that. Already 6% of our commuters are bicyclists. That's more than any other city in the United States of America. We know when we add a bike lane, we see about a 50% increase in use. 54% of the greenhouse gas emissions in this city are transportation related. The tailpipes of these cars you see behind yourselves and in front of me. So in order for us to get there, this bike network needs to take shape, and it needs to envelop itself in a safe manner, in a way that ultimately will inure to the benefit of all of us, even those of us that are not bicyclists. We'll get the benefit of this because of the air we breathe and the benefit of the example that we will leave to our children to get more physically active as well, and to look at bicycling not just as recreation, but to also look at it as a pragmatic way of getting to and from places of work, to and from places that we need to go. So I think this is just a wonderful day, long overdue. I think it's an exciting time in our city, and I think you're going to see, after August, September, an extraordinary amount accomplished in an extraordinary short period of time. Wade Crowfoot in absentia, thank you for all your leadership in my office. You have led the charge. To Leah Sham and the Bicycle Coalition, thank you for your example and your constancy. Thank you to Planning Department and John Ram, who understands this issue. Thank you to their leadership, and thank you to our MTA and their board of directors. Thank you all.
Okay, the mayor of San Francisco, Gavin Newsom. I rarely agree with him, but who can disagree with that? Especially the part about democratizing the streets. I really appreciate that. I get the feeling he's been reading some Enrique Peñalosa, the former mayor of Bogota, who uses that exact term to describe his vision for the streets of Bogota and urban streets around the world. Peñalosa spoke here at the main library just a few days ago in San Francisco, and he talked a lot about how there is so much private ownership in cities. Everybody, when a city is formed, it immediately blocks off land and sells it to private owners. There's just certain spots that are considered public space, and it used to be the entire street was public space. Nowadays, it's only the sidewalk. So the great vision of Bikescape and Enrique Peñalosa and the Bike Coalition and all of us in this business is to try and democratize the whole street and make it an equal opportunity space for everybody. It's public space, and it should be used that way. It's a relatively new idea that streets are meant for transportation only, for getting from one place to another. It's also a place where we live and a place where we interact and where community is formed. So, well, that's that. Well, let's look at what's happening around San Francisco. Lots of things are happening. It's summertime, and things are coming a mile a minute. It's impossible to do everything. Let's see. Friday, July 10th, 7:30 to 9:30 a.m., Gas-Free Friday. Meet at City Hall on the Polk Street steps and declare your independence from oil when you pedal off to an SFBC Energizer station on Gas-Free Fridays to fuel up on coffee, tea, and snacks. SFBC wants to help more people substitute one short car trip with a bicycle trip just one day a week. And that's going to be happening. Go grab a friend and your bike and encourage a coworker to go gas-free and ride to work from City Hall within a group of people. A social ride to work. Also, Saturday, July 11th, at 5 p.m. at Green Arcade Books. That's at 1680 Market Street, right at Goff. Jeff Mapes is a writer from The Oregonian. He's coming to San Francisco to hawk his new book. It's called Pedaling Revolution. It's a new book that traces the growth of bicycle advocacy, examining the environmental safety and health aspects of cycling, and exploring the growing bike culture that's changing the look and feel of the look and feel of cities, suburbs, small towns across America. David Byrne alerted me to him, the Talking Heads singer. He wrote a book review in the New York Times about it, and I got the book, and I'm getting through it, and Pedaling Revolution. It's a great book. He's going to be speaking here, and I'm going to be there, so come and hear him speak. We can meet, and hopefully I'll get Jeff to agree to let me record the whole session. We can get a podcast up about it. And not to be missed, and it's really hard to miss it because it goes on for several days, the Bicycle Film Festival. Check them out at www.bicyclefilmfestival.com. It's going on from Bastille Day, Tuesday, July 14th, with an opening concert by Blonde Redhead and special guests. Bikes Rocks concert is called. You'll be able to get your tickets online. They're going to have an art show, an after party. I hear tell there might be an alley cat, all sorts of stuff, and not to mention the movies. It is a film festival, after all. There are tons of movies. The Third Wheel, I Love My Bicycle, Urban Bike Shorts, Where You Go, I think is what it's called. Where Are You Go? I'm not sure. It looks like a typo. But lots of great movies and a lot of fun. Every year it gets better. BicycleFilmFest.com. The other not-to-be-missed event of the summer, of course, is Sunday Streets. This will be, the sixth one of the year of the summer. Sunday Streets, the second one that's going to happen in the Mission. I understand the best Sunday Streets of the year happened in the Mission this year. This is where we close a series of streets all through the neighborhoods of the Mission, some of the main streets and some of the quieter streets, all through the Mission, starting at one park at one end of the Mission and ending up at Dolores Park. I hear it was wonderful. I missed it. That's when I crashed and messed up my collarbone on the way. I was on my way to Sunday Streets, but I get another chance, and I'm going to try and get there in one piece this time. It's Sunday, July 19th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You got to get up early for this. There's going to be music, dancers, Aztec dancers. There's going to be a Slumdog Millionaire dance from 1 until 1:30, a Thriller dance at 1:30. There's going to be food, did I say? Just sun and wonderful summertime fun in the Mission. There's going to be 150 free bike rentals from Bike and Roll. The Lube Fairies from Sports Basement are going to be out, making sure everybody's running smoothly. I just can't imagine a summer without going to that. And also, this usually happens in Golden Gate Park, but it's also going to happen at Sunday Streets on the same day. It's the Freedom from Training Wheels event. It's also the same day, Sunday, July 19th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's in the Mission. The specific location is to be decided. We don't really know, but you'll be all over the place. You run into them. Bring your kids. Bring the kids' bikes and bring a wrench so you can take off the training wheels, because by the time they're done with Freedom from Training Wheels, they will be riding a bike just like the grown-ups. So it's going to happen. If you have questions, call 415-431-2453, extension 312. Well, that's it for another Bikescape, the rudest of the rude podcasts. Thanks for listening. I'm sorry it's been so San Francisco-centric, but, you know, it's all about bike culture, and it's macro. It fits in with your town. If it doesn't fit in now, it might fit in later. This podcast was about the maturing of San Francisco's bike culture, and we'll see. You know, maybe it's in some ways it's kind of sad. You know, we're not rebels, we're not pioneers anymore. But on the other hand, it's something that everybody understands now, even the mayor and all the heads of department. It's amazing. So I feel like it might apply to your town in some way. You may be ahead of us, you may be behind us, but we're all on the road towards a sustainable transportation future. Anyway, it's another Bikescape in the can, and I just want to remind you that you can reach me by sending an email to bikescape@sbcglobal.net. You can also go to the blog, the Bikescape podcast, www.bikescape.blogspot.com. You can leave comments on the blog. You can look at past shows. You can look up links to things that are mentioned on the blog in the podcast. And there you can subscribe to the show using iTunes or your favorite iPod or music player subscriber mechanism. You can subscribe in a reader. You can find us on Facebook. You can become a fan. All these links are there. You can follow us on Twitter now. That's something new. We'll see how that goes. If you want to be on the show, you can call and leave a message on the listener comment line. The number has changed. It is now in the United States, 01 for the United States, area code 206-984-1048. Leave a message of any length, and I will edit it if necessary and put it on the air. So, as I always say at the end of any of these shows, make sure that you keep your rubber side down, which I'm going to try to do a little more often now, and make sure that you take the lane. And keep on pushing and shoving. I'll never doubt again how life can be arranged. You can live to work or only work to live. Still the tax man wants all my money to gain. Push and shove. Push and shove. If I know my love song. Push and shove. Push and shove. Push and shove. You push it, 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 you push and shove. You push it, 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 push and shove. There we go. Amsterdam and Belgium know to push it. Push and shove. Christiania knows how to push it. You push it, 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 you push and shove.